Finding the slides. Have they been loaded in here? There they are. Thank you very much. Okay. I knew they were in there someplace. Again, this is Ray Cibula from Cornell University's Employment and Disability Institute, and we want to welcome you to today's WISE event, a work incentive seminar. We're going to talk about some free support services. The two buzzwords for today are free and voluntary support services for people with a disability who are receiving benefits from the Social Security based on that disability and are ready to go to work or are considering going to work. We've got lots and lots of information for you, and we've got a few questions for you as well. What I do want to let you know is that you will be able to participate in today's session on the right-hand side of the screen. You have a webinar console. What we want you to do, if you do have a question, is click on the word Q&A, the little Q&A box at the top of that webinar console. It's going to open up the Q&A box. What you can do is type in your question, hit send, and it's going to appear on Jamie's desktop. Now, there are a few hundred of you out there, and we're clearly not going to be able to get to all of your questions. That does not mean we don't want your question answered. We will give you lots of resources, phone numbers, email addresses, to get those questions answered, because that's why we are here today. We want to answer your questions. Now, most of you are participating today, listening to me through the speakers on your computer. If you do happen to have a problem with that, we do have the ability for you to participate by phone. And you're going to want to switch to the audio box up on the top of your screen and just put "you will call in." And I'm going to give you the numbers right now. The toll-free number for today's session is 855-749-4750. And the access code is 643-490-389. Now, once again, if you got a pencil handy, write it down because you won't see this slide again. 855-749-4750 is the toll-free number, and the access code is 643-490-389. Now, for closed captioning services, you can log in at www.ilr.cornell.edu/edi/captions.cfm?activity_id=401. And the PowerPoint and accessible PDFs and texts are with the link that you received with your confirmation letter for today's session. Now, I want to go back to this slide because this is one of our all-important slides, and it's just a general topic about webinar accessibility. We strive to make our webinars accessible to everybody who wants to participate, and we want to know if you're having any issues with our system. More than hearing about your issue, if you are aware of something that we can do to fix that issue, if you know of a system or you know of a method, please let us know about that too, so that we can make this session more accessible to more people. Now, the webinar presentation, transcript, and audio recording is going to be available in about 2 weeks. We'll post it to the website at www.ilr.cornell.edu/edi/m-wise-webinars.cfm. Now, we talked to you about using the webinar console to get your questions into us. If you want to, you can use the chat box that's there. We prefer you don't, but by all means, if that If you find that method easier, that's fine too. Or you can email your questions to choosework questions, that's one word, choosework questions@gmail.com. If after we sign off you realize you do have a question, you can ask us then as well. Just send an email to support@choosework.net, and we'll make sure all of those questions get answered. Now today we're going to talk about the Ticket to Work program, and Karen Wiley from the New Mexico Division of Vocational Rehabilitation is going to take us through that. She's also going to guide us through some of the work incentives that Social Security has made available. And then we're going to switch gears a bit and talk about employment networks. And Katie Groth from the New Mexico Division of VR is going to talk about their Ticket to Work program, and then about vocational rehabilitation services in general. Now, notice our speakers are from the state of New Mexico. That does not mean that this does not apply to all 50 states. It may work slightly differently in your state, but the general matters of fact are going to apply to you as well. At the end of the session, I will be giving you some additional resources, and we will take the questions that Jamie has picked out that pertain to the largest possible group of people at the end. And we might, Jamie might interrupt or push a question at me before we get to the end of the session. So right now, before we start, I'm looking here and seeing no polling questions. Jeff, do we have polling questions in here? We can always ask them later, but I'm not seeing them in here right now. So let's get Jeff, our tech expert, to get the polling questions out. Yeah, and we'll ask them a little bit later. All right, so what we have to start out with is a welcome from Bob Williams. He's the Associate Commissioner at Social Security. He's with the Office of Employment Support Programs. He is a great friend to all of us and a great friend to work incentives in general. So Jeff, if you could cue up Commissioner Williams' video, that would be great.
Webinar. My name is Bob Williams, and I am the Associate Commissioner for Employment Support at the Social Security Administration. We run the Ticket to Work and Self-Sufficiency Program, which assists persons ages 80 through 64 on SSDI or SSI who want to improve their life and future by becoming employed. By viewing this webinar, you will learn how you can receive training, become employed, increase your earnings, reduce your reliance on disability benefits, and eventually earn a better living by becoming fully self-supporting whenever possible. The Ticket program is not for everyone. This is why the choice of whether to take advantage of it is yours, and yours alone. I know firsthand that people with significant disabilities face many barriers to becoming and staying employed. This is especially true in today's economy. The major reason you receive disability benefits is that Social Security determines that you are not able to work enough to support yourself. But I also watch YouTube, though, and having a significant disability, no longer has to meet a lifetime or do employment and greater financial security. Blood Ticket can offer you the choices, training, opportunities, and support you need to go to work and gain financial independence. I hope today's webinar begins your journey towards greater self-sufficiency. Your life and future can be better. Thank you for joining us.
All right, so we are back in business, and I want to thank the Associate Commissioner again for his welcome. We always like to hear from him. What can you expect from today's presentation? We're going to give you some information on Social Security's Ticket to Work program. We're going to answer some of those frequently asked questions. You know, Karen, Catherine, Jamie, and myself have been doing this work for a very, very long time, and we hear the same questions over and over again. And we just want to make sure that we get you some answers to those questions. Okay, where to find more information? Because we're not going to be able to talk to you for a long time today, but we're always going to leave you with resources to get more information than you came in with. Success stories. We have some great success stories to share with you from folks who have actually used their ticket. Karen and Katie are likely to share some additional stories, and we'll give you a website that can show you more success stories. The things that we're about to talk to you about actually do work. Now, why would you choose to work? Well, earning more income is the main reason. You know, that's the main reason all of us work, is to have more money. And we can assure you that with appropriate planning, the work incentives that we are about to talk to you about today will lead you to more money. You know, we would not let you use these work incentives if you are going to be harmed by them. There will always be more. That's the wonderful thing about this. To gain independence, and we mean that in a couple of ways. We mean gaining independence from the agencies that you're dealing with. You have to report things about your life and about some private information that you might not care to share with these agencies that are providing you with benefits. You can gain independence from that, and along with that extra money comes the independence to make more choices about how you want to live, where you want to live, and what you want to do. Meeting new people, you know, we talk about meeting people all the time and how it can change your life. It's a matter of getting out of the house, not feeling so isolated, participating in a social group. In my case, meeting your spouse and ending up getting married. You know, I met my spouse at work. So a lot of things are going to happen. You know, and I think that meeting my spouse is a little bit more important than my biweekly or bimonthly paycheck. Sometimes you got to consider, but the paycheck is a nice thing. The spouse was pretty nice too. Learning new skills. The Ticket to Work program is going to provide you with the ability to go to school if you need to learn computer skills, to purchase a computer to start your own business, go to a tech school and learn a new trade, or it might very well be helping you to perform your old job differently because of that disability that you incurred. There are many, many ways that this ticket can help you learn new things or relearn things. Now, Robert is our success story that we're going to share with you today. He's a veteran and spent 7 years in the Army. And after a surgical mishap in the year 2000, he sustained a spinal cord injury and it left him with limited mobility. He went on to disability insurance benefits and used the ticket to work to discover his passion for helping other veterans navigate that transition from military life back into civilian life. So Jeff, if we can cue up Robert's video, that would be great.
Coming straight out of high school from Chicago, I had a strong interest for the military. I joined the service and I went into the Army. And my job that I went to service for was a communications, and I was a communications specialist. I spent two tours in Europe and Germany, and I spent over about 7 years total in the military. Once I completed my time in the service, I continued to work for the government as a United States postal carrier. And after 13 years of this work, it began to take a toll on me health-wise. It led to some medical issues that I started to have. I became disabled from a surgery kind of mishap where a disc ruptured and it paralyzed me. The Ticket to Work program was introduced to me throughout my rehabilitation time period. The VA was assisting me. They even offered me the ideas about if I ever thought about going back to work. So they introduced me to a representative from the Social Security Board who told me about this Ticket to Work program. Well, as the representative explained the program, it was obvious that there were some safety nets there. Some of the things that I was worried about, I really didn't have, it was no worry at all. Now, it wasn't until the Voc Rehab representative for paralyzed veterans, who again introduced me to the Ticket to Work program. And I told him I had heard of it and I was aware of it. But at this time, as years had went by, I felt a little bit more stronger about actually accepting it this time, because I knew that I was at a level health-wise, and I felt it was time for me to make some serious decisions and not be living on a fixed income when I had such a desire to want to do much more. The program had told me all the things like, well, if it don't work out, it was still enough of a security net there to say that you don't have to worry about that. They even gave me a year, even while I was working, that I was still covered under Social Security. They make sure that they are there to assist you and help you in all types of ways, not only to put you back in the workforce or give you the skills that you need to get there, but to follow you once you're there. After being part of this Ticket to Work program, I started looking again into the availabilities of positions for a national service officer. At that time, there just happened to be some available positions.
He put in the ticket, the position that he had to apply for the position normally. That position came up, and he shortly thereafter, he was selected as a candidate to be a national service officer at the Chicago office.
After the interview, they immediately told me that I was very much qualified and I could prepare to begin to come to work. I became a National Service Officer for the Paralyzed Veterans of America. Paralyzed Veterans of America, of course, is a service organization dedicated to helping those veterans with spinal cord injury, spinal cord disease, as we assist all veterans with VA benefits, and we advocate for veterans' health care.
I'm Robert Stainer. Okay. I'm a National Service Officer with Paralyzed Veterans of America.
I greet and meet with especially the new veterans or a new patient that has just coming in for the first time. Coming back to work has probably built up my independency, the self-pride, and, you know, I'm an achiever again. You know, I got something to offer society. And, you know, it's almost like you're, you know, regaining a good portion of dignity back. Prior to even coming back to work, I was highly got interested in some of the disability sporting events, wheelchair games. I used to participate in that every year, and it was a big event for me. The Ticket to Work program, it helped open up the door and put me back to where, you know, it's almost like it put my life back on track.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. We are now going to talk a little bit about what happens when you think you're ready to work. We're hoping to move you along in that progression today, give you enough information so that you feel comfortable and safe doing that. Now, we need to gather information and resources. This is the first step that you need to do to make plans for that journey to work. Now, the Ticket to Work and all of these work incentives that we've been making mention of can help you begin to gather that information, know where those resources are, and most importantly, make that journey a smooth one. We want you to be able to gradually move from benefits to independence in a smooth manner that's not going to interfere with anything that you've got going on now. Now, when you're ready, building an employment team is the best way to begin. Now, you are the captain of this team, and you get to pick who's on your team. So it's a great thing. Now, how do you do that? We have several ways to begin to build an employment team, and you can use any one of them. You can speak with an expert at the Ticket to Work helpline, and that number is 1-866-968-7842. Or if you're a TTY user, 1-866-833-2967. You can give them a call. They can help you get started answering a few basic questions and get you in touch with somebody in your area. You can learn more about the Ticket to Work by reading our blog and watching more success stories like Robert's at www.socialsecurity.gov/work. Once again, that's www.socialsecurity.gov/work. That's a great way for you to get on the web, find out some information, hear how this program has helped some people, without any obligation whatsoever. You don't even have to talk to anybody. That might lead you to calling that helpline. Or you could just go directly to find an employment network, an EN, that meets your needs, or work with your state VR agency. You know, both of these partners and both of these members of your employment team are going to be able to help you get ready to return to work. And Katie's going to tell us about the different options you have to do that. But you can do any one of these in order to start building that team. Once you have your employment team in place, it's up to you to stay connected. You know, you are the leader of this team. So as you're going through the paces of exploring options, you need to be in contact with every member of your team to make sure it works. Now, there are a couple of basic programs that we want to describe to you today that Social Security administers for folks with disabilities. And they are provided to people based upon that disability. The first one is the Social Security Disability Insurance Program, or SSDI. And it is an insurance program. As you work and FICA taxes are withheld from your wages, you are buying insurance that will be provided to you, provided you work long enough, and that's based on your age. Your benefits will then be based upon what your salary was and how much you paid into that system. But it is very much an insurance program. Then we switch gears significantly and we look at the SSI program, Supplemental Security Income, which is a needs-based federal welfare program for people who are aged, blind, or disabled and have low income and low resources. Same disability standard, but there's no requirement for a work history with the SSI benefits. Last but not least, we've got people who receive both, and we refer to them as concurrent beneficiaries. If somebody has worked for a period of time at a lower wage job, it could be that the benefits paid by their insurance side are below the SSI limit. And if they are, SSI may be available to bring you up to that limit. Now, both of these programs come with health care. SSDI comes with Medicare. SSI comes with Medicaid, at least in a lot of states. You may live in one of those 11 states that requires a separate application, so watch out for that. The first thing for you to do before you start building that employment team is to make sure you are aware of what benefit you receive. It's going to make a great deal of difference as you begin this journey to work. And now we have three common myths. The first one is, if I try to go to work, I will automatically lose my Medicare or Medicaid. Well, at this point in time, nothing could be further from the truth. As you'll hear, there are work incentives to keep both Medicare and Medicaid in place for a very, very long time. A very long time. So you really don't need to be concerned about that at the outset. You need to be more concerned about getting ready to work, getting that job, and then determining what your level of work will be. How much stamina do you have? Is this going to work out before you start worrying about health care costs? The second myth, if I use my ticket to go to work, Social Security will perform a medical review and I'll lose my benefits. Well, that's wrong too, because as Katie's going to tell you, if you use that ticket to work, Social Security cannot perform a medical review. Social Security wants you to succeed. They're not going to pull the rug out from under you by performing a medical review just because you have decided to start this journey to work. And the last myth that we hear a lot about, these are those questions we told you that we hear over and over again. If I go to work and lose my benefits and have to stop, I'm going to have to start at the beginning all over and reapply. And it took me 2 years, it took me 3 years to get the benefits, and I don't want to wait that long. I can't afford to do that again. Well, Social Security has a safety net that will apply after your benefits are terminated. So if you are terminated from the programs because you have earnings, because you went to work, this is just wrong. And Karen's going to talk to us about expedited reinstatement that will take care of that and allow you to get those benefits back pretty quickly. Pretty quickly. And with that being said, I'm going to turn you over to the capable hands of Karen Wiley, who once again is with the New Mexico Division of Vocational Rehabilitation. And Karen, take it away.
Thank you, and hello, everyone. One of the first things I want to say is as we go through this next section, and with Katie probably too, we're going to teach you some language lessons. Social Security has its own language about how things work, and we're going to try to teach you so you know how to talk to them and make sure that they use what is available to you. So first we're going to talk about what the ticket to work is. Now the ticket to work is this idea, you don't have to have the piece of paper, but it's this idea that it offers you free and voluntary. Now you're going to hear that from us over and over. It's free and it's voluntary. You don't have to pay for any of your services to assist you as a person with Social Security Disability Insurance or Supplemental Security Income to go back to work or to improve your working condition. So it can be from the very first of going back from the very beginning, or you may be working now and you want to improve your situation. Also, the ticket to work is available to anybody from the age of 18 to 64 who are receiving Social Security disability benefits, either SSDI or SSI. So those are those language lessons, knowing which one are you on SSDI or SSI benefits, Social Security disability benefits. So when you're ready to work, if you want to earn more money, the ticket to work can help you improve your earning potential. You can start off quite small. A lot of people ask me, well, I only want to work part-time because I don't know if I have the energy yet, what my disability is going to do to going back to work. The ticket can help you start slow and build your way up to self-sufficiency. If you need personal fulfillment that comes from working, where do we meet most of our friends or our spouses? And that's at work. The ticket to work will help provide you the assurance and stability so you can start feeling more confident and know that you have safety nets to help you get back. If you want to be able to get the benefits back if your job doesn't work out because of your disability, there are quick ways within almost a month you can start benefits back again. Now hear what I'm saying. Depending on where you're on it, you can get back on Social Security very quickly, almost as little as 1 month, if you need to because your disability prevented you from continuing to work. Or if you're feeling overwhelmed and don't know where to turn, I think there's a lot of songs out about that. Yes, the ticket can help you connect to people who know everything that can help you. There's resources that are available in your area and all the services you need. And it's there for quite a long time. So you may use it for a while, then don't need it for a while. Just like going through life, we need help at times, and then we can do it on our own, then we need other help. The ticket to work can keep working with us with that. So, okay, you're ready to go back to work. We're going to talk about building your employment team. Now, one of the first things you need to do is talk to somebody who's an expert on the ticket to work. And look, we're giving you a phone number. There's a ticket to work helpline, and the phone number is 1-866-968-7842. Or if you need TTY, it's 1-866-833-2967. So you can talk to an expert and learn more about the ticket to work and work incentives. You can learn more about the ticket to work by reading blogs and watching real success stories. And believe me, I've been doing this 14 years or benefits advisement, and there are many, many success stories. We've helped, there's about five of us in the state, and we've helped over 3,000 people go back to work. Find an employment network that meets your needs. You need to know what your what you need, and then you can start interviewing employment networks or VR to ask for those things to see if they can provide them for you. And they're out there and they're willing to help, but you just need to know what you're asking for. And you need to stay connected. And that's one of the things I keep telling people over and over. Sometimes you have to rattle my cage to keep me knowing what's important to you and that this is something you're really working on. So stay connected and keep talking to us. And we love to hear the success stories so we know that what we're doing is making any difference. So does that help? I can hear people nodding. That's good. That's good. And I really have had people who have used the ticket to work in a number of times. I've had people who have been working who decided that they wanted to increase their hours. Or, for example, I had a person who was just working at Walmart and they just wanted to earn a little extra money. But they wanted to earn more, but they knew that they needed some more education and somebody to help them look for other employment. So they used their ticket to work to talk to those people and find out. The neat thing also about the ticket, and Katie will talk more about this in Partnership Plus, you can start using it with one employment network, and if they don't offer everything you need or that you've gotten to as far as you can work with them, you can use it with someone else later and keep the success and the work going. So I just wanted to let you know about that.
Okay, Karen, before you start on the work incentives, I have a question for you that's pretty timely. Somebody wants to know how they can get a ticket.
You don't actually need the paper ticket in order to use it, but if you do want to have the ticket to work, if you want to have the piece of paper, you can get a hold of your tickettowork.com or the addresses, and I don't know if you want to go back on the slide and show the address on to the Bengal, the Ticket to Work helpline, and they will help you figure out how to get a ticket when you need it. Does that answer your question?
That answers the question.
Thank you for the question. Please ask, because again, I've been doing this for so long that sometimes I sleep Social Security and I speak a whole different language, and the questions remind me to speak in English and not into this foreign language of Social Securities. So now we're going to talk a little bit about the work incentives, and I'm only going to touch upon them because there are a bunch of them, a bunch of safety nets all through your progress. But what are work incentives for? Well, they're to help you build the bridge to your success, however your success looks for you. We don't have, or no one has an idea of what your final goal is going to be. But the work incentives are there for you to build that journey and to use as safety nets as well, so you don't have to walk across this whole bridge and not think, oh no, I can't get back on, or something's going to happen, I'm going to lose everything. No, we've got lots of safety nets for that. So, work incentives have many advantages. They can help you receive training for new skills. So if you use them as a safety net and you need some training, there's the plan for achieving self-support if you're an SSI. There's using your ticket to work. There's all these things that are there to help you get back and get training for new skills if you need them. They can help you with improving the skills you already have. Many times people don't realize what talents we have, and that using the work incentives and the ticket to work will allow you to find out what talents and strengths that you have and what you can do, or how to improve what you can do. For example, you may have an expertise in something, but you might need a degree in order to do it. Work incentives will help you out with that. They can help you pursue education. If say that you're going to go back to school and you're eligible for student loans, but it doesn't pay, not student loans, grants and scholarships, but they don't pay for all of your school, work incentives can help pick up the extra costs so that you don't may not have to ever take out a student loan to pursue education. Whoa. My computer disappeared for a second because I hadn't touched the mouse. It allows you to try different jobs. I don't know, but they say the average American changes their career 5 times in their lifetime. I've only done it twice, so there's lots of room for other people to do theirs. But even within your career, you may change your job several times. And this lets you try different jobs, different hours, different bosses who understand and are able to help you move forward in your life. Or to start a whole new career. So the ticket to work can help you with the safety net so you can try. Say you've always worked in communications like Robert did, and now you want to work in astrophysics or start something totally new, like Robert started a new career working with vets. I had a person who started a whole new career. He was working as an extra in a lot of movies, and now he's teaching at the university level on how to be acting and how to break into the film industry in New Mexico. So you can start a whole new career within it that was related to his original career. It can also help you gain confidence. Even without a disability, confidence in your job is sometimes very hard. And you know that you have safety nets with the work incentives so that you can continue to grow your confidence and know that if things don't work out quite right in this area, you still have the other work incentives to use to help you keep moving forward to being self-sufficient. So, let's talk about some of that language lesson here. Now, the most common question I get asked when people call me is, how much money can I make, or how many hours can I work? Well, I've got news for you. Social Security doesn't have any limits on that. They have rules about when you make certain things happen. But they don't have a limit. They have an idea that this is only what you can make. And so I tell people it depends on what benefit they're on, how much they can work, and what they want to do. And then we figure out from there, based on what that is, how much you're going to make and what's going to happen. It also depends on where they are in a process. As you can see by the slide that's on right now, the first work incentive, if you're on SSDI, is something called a trial work period. Now, the news on that is, no matter how many hours you work or how much money you make an hour, it should not affect your Social Security check during that time. You'll get your full Social Security check. You will keep your Medicare at whatever level it is now. It is a time for you to try the different hours, different bosses, different careers, gain that confidence, and not worry about, how am I going to make my light bill this month? So for 9 months, at a minimum of 9 months, you could be earning $50 a month or $1 million a month. But if you get a job making $1 million a month, write down my information and adopt me, please. Because I can't make that much, but no matter how much you make, you will get your full Social Security check. You do have to report your earnings to Social Security, and remember that. And that's what they'll help you with at that Ticket to Work helpline. A lot of people say, well, what happens after I get done with my trial work month? Then I'm going to lose my check the first month after that. And it's like, no. After that, you go into an extended period of eligibility. So during this time, no matter whether or not you get your Social Security cash payment will depend on how much you make. And it depends on your countable income. But we're not going to go into that much detail today because we're giving you a whole lot of information. again, call your resources and they'll work it out specific to your case.
Karen, I am going to ask you a question. I just turned my mic on. That's what you heard. Speaking of reporting income, somebody wants to know to whom and where do they report their income?
In New Mexico, we have them report their monthly to Social Security, their local Social Security office. But there are a variety of ways that you can report your income. You can call the Social Security 800 number. You can go into the Social Security office that's near you, or you can mail your Social Security, mail your information to your local Social Security office. And if you do it certified, then you know that they got it. Also, if you're on SSI and only using SSI and not using any work incentives, they have this really neat line that you can call in, and it even gives you a receipt that you've reported your income. So there are a variety of ways, but all have to go to the Social Security office.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And if you ever have any questions of where your local Social Security office, in case you don't know it, you can go to ssa.gov, and on the left side it says locations, and put in your zip code, and it tells you where to go. I do that frequently, so that's how I know where to go. Okay. Also, if you're on SSI, it works a little bit differently. Because SSI is a needs-based program, less than half of your income is counted for them to figure out what's going to happen in your SSI, and I think I need to go back. Sorry, I'm finished talking about the extended period of eligibility. The extended period of eligibility is for SSDI, and during that time, it lasts at least 36 months, so that if for some reason your countable income goes below a certain level, which is called SGA, or substantial gainful activity, or if you have to quit your job, or if it terminates or whatever, you do not have to reapply. You let Social Security know that the job has ended or your hours are cut or anything like that, and you can get back on your Social Security in that 36 months without a new application. I'll talk about expedited reinstatement here in just a minute. That's a different thing. On extended period of eligibility, you just can get back on Social Security really quickly. Now let's talk about SSI for a moment. Like I said, SSI is earned income, and because it's based on how much income you have available to you, Social Security will reduce the check gradually, but you end up with a lot more money. And one of the things that I talk frequently to people is if I start a job today, if I came to work today, all I get is the money that I earn for my job. But both of these safety nets here allow you to have a little extra money as you're working to learn how just to live back on your income again. So for SSI, they deduct some amount, $85 a month, and then they divide it in half, and that is reduced from your SSI check. So for most of the United States, you have to earn $1,505 a month if you're eligible for the full SSI check before your SSI check goes to zero. And you keep your Medicaid until much longer. In New Mexico, you have to make over $33,000 a year before you would even have to worry about Medicaid. So for many people, getting off of poverty, because the SSI check is below poverty, and having more money to be above poverty is worth losing some of the SSI check in order, because they know they're going to keep their Medicaid check and keep their health insurance. And then some states have ways to keep your Medicaid even longer than that with the Medicaid buy-in programs. So when you call in and talk to your particular work incentive counselor, you will learn all about what's specific in your area and what can be helping you. Now, both programs, when you start making a fair amount of money and you can show that you can do it for quite a bit of time, you might terminate from it. And it'll take you years for that. I've had some people, well, in fact, I had a person who walked in on a Friday afternoon and I talked to them about their benefits. And they left about 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon. At 3 o'clock Monday, they called me and said that they had a job because they were so excited to find out they could work. And he actually called me 2 weeks ago to tell me that he's finally working his way off of Social Security because he's gotten a really good job and it's hanging in there and it's going to go be ongoing for a while. And he just wanted to know what the next step was. And I tell him about the expedited reinstatement, which is a 5-year window that if your illness, that the conditions that got you on Social Security stop you from being able to make a certain level of earnings, you can get back on Social Security within a month without a new application. So there's one of those safety nets that for years you can use in order to get back on if something were to happen, or if you have an illness that might cycle, where you're doing really well for a while and then you don't. There are all these things that can be used to help you. Another really neat thing is a lot of people have heard about their uncles, cousins, nephews, best friend who lost Social Security the minute they started going back to work. In 14 years, I have never had that happen. But if you're afraid that that's going to happen, you have protection from medical reviews because the only time Social Security can decide that you are medically improved or no longer eligible for their disability programs is at a medical continuing disability review. And if you use your ticket to work, they can't do those reviews, and therefore you have all the protections that you need. And so these are some of the examples, and I've had people who have worked through all of them. I've had some people who've taken 3 or 4 years to get through their trial work period. I've had some people who are working to the best of their ability, and they're only just being able to make about $1,700 a month. And we're able to show them all the benefits and ways to protect them and what you can do to get right back on, because sometimes people's illnesses require that they get back on Social Security quickly if something were to happen. And again, health insurance.
Okay. Thank you very much, Karen. I got one more question for you, at least for the moment. When you're in your trial work period, do you have to work at the same job for 9 months, or can it be in different jobs?
I usually give an example here. I had one person who had finished their master's degree, and they used their 9 months all in a row within the same job. Most people I work with have tried different jobs in different times, so their earnings might use a trial work period for a while, and then they may not for a while, either because of illness or getting laid off or whatever, and then they might go to a different job. So trial work period is very flexible so that you can use it for what you need it for and have that protection.
Okay, thanks an awful lot. We're going to turn things over to Katie Groth, who's with the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation in New Mexico. And Karen, don't go anywhere. Take it away, Katie.
Okay, thank you, Ray. This is Katie. Karen has shared with you some safety nets that are available through the Social Security program to help ease your transition to employment. So now we want to talk about what is out there to help you get that job. As mentioned before, there's employment networks as well as DVRs, or Division of Vocational Rehabilitations, out there to assist you in this process. First, we're going to talk about employment networks, which we call EONs. These are agencies and organizations which may be nonprofit, for-profit, or government entities that have passed a rigorous RFQ process to become certified by SSA to assist ticket participants in their journey back to work. So, these EONs are going to help individuals with disability find and maintain employment. So So how do you find out about the EONs that are available to you in your area? There's two ways, as you can see on the slide. The first way is to call the Ticket to Work helpline at 1-866-968-7842, or if you're a TTY user, 1-866-833-2967. And you get to speak with a benefits counselor who has been trained about the Ticket to Work program, and you can ask them for a list of employment networks that serve your area. The other option to find out, you don't have to talk to anybody, so if you don't want to use the phone, and you can actually go on the website, www.socialsecurity.gov/work, and they, on that website, you'll see a map of the U.S., and you can click on that, and then you can, there's choices, you can search by area code and what type of employment network you'd like to utilize. Next slide, please. So, now you have a list of the ENs in your area. The next step for you is to select one that is right for you. And a great way to do this is to contact each EN and ask questions about the services they provide. Kind of give them a little interview. You want to find out about their experience, their availability, their employer contacts, and past ticket participant job placements. So some questions that you may want to ask based on these include, how many people have you helped through the Ticket to Work program? What kind of companies do you work with for job placements? What kinds of jobs might be available to me? How often will you communicate and meet? Now, this is an important one because there are EONs that may not be in your area or may be out of state. Contact may be only via phone or email. So you need to kind of think about, well, do I need more help or do I feel like I can do this more self-directed and just kind of get help via email or some phone calls once in a while? Next slide, please. So there's also questions during this initial contact that the EN should be asking you and information that they should be providing to you. First off, they should be talking to you about how the ticket program works and the specific services that they can provide to you as a ticket participant. They should ask you about your employment goals and your intentions about work. They should ask questions like, what types of jobs are you interested in? What is your work history? Are you looking for full-time or part-time work? They should also ask about any fears you may have about going back to work. They should be asking questions like, how do you feel about going back to work? Do you have any concerns about going back to work? If you do have concerns, what are they and how can we help alleviate them? Finally, it is important that there is a discussion about the development of an individual work plan to lay out your employment goals and to spell out the services that the EN will be providing to you to help you get to your employment goal. Next slide. So you've done these interviews, and now you've decided, I want to go with so-and-so EN. So you're ready to schedule an appointment and go and meet with your employment specialist. Here are some things to remember when meeting with your EN. When you sign that individual work plan, that plan that you guys come up with together that states how you're going to get your job, what services you need, your ticket is then assigned to the EN. It's important to know that besides signing that, you might have other routine forms that the EN will need to have you sign in order for them to work with you. Remember, you have the right, this is a voluntary program, you have the right to unassign your ticket at any time if you change your mind or if you decide an EN is not a good match. So that's really important. This is self-directed. This is directed by you, and it's voluntary. And if you something just doesn't feel right, you can say, you know, I want to unassign my ticket, and I think I'm going to go somewhere else. And that's okay to do. One of the biggest benefits, and Karen has talked about it as well as Ray, to assigning your ticket is it postpones your medical continuing disability reviews, or also known as CDRs. So as long as you're making timely progress toward employment, which can include working, going to school, vocational training, you will not have these CDRs. It's important that the EN talks to you about these timely progress reviews. There's a handout. It shows you what is expected after each year, and they go through that with you. So you will know what you need to do to make sure that you continue to be protected from your CDRs. Next slide. So once you have assigned your ticket to an EN, there are a myriad of services that are available to you. And some of these services include resume development and advice on how to fill out a good resume, interview skills and tips on how to explain long absences from work without disclosing your disability, job accommodation information and resources. You know, say you need, it's hard for you to work an 8-hour day, so maybe you need to kind of do shorter hours. You know, they have information about how you can talk to an employer about that. Tax incentive information, and also referrals to other resources in your area, possibly job clubs. You know, maybe there's some books out there about resume writing, or there's some great web pages and job websites to find jobs. Next slide, please. They can also provide job leads and information on employers who are hiring and when and where to find job fairs and recruiting events that are happening. They are seem to be coming up all the time now. I hear about one almost weekly in New Mexico, and we're not a very large state, so I'm sure large cities have them going on daily. So they can also provide access to resource centers, which is really important. You know, we don't all have a computer at home. Most of us don't have a fax machine at home. So you can use a computer at their office to write your resume or fill out applications. They may have internet available for you to search for jobs. And then you're able to use an email. You can use the phones and fax machines to communicate with potential employers, send your applications and your resumes. They can also provide job development services on your behalf, like providing role-playing activities or assessment tools, and career planning guidance and counseling. And say you need some more extensive training or assistance needed, and they don't have that ability, they can provide referrals to other organizations, such as State Vocational Rehabilitation Office or the Department of Labor, or if you have questions about work incentives that they can't answer, they can tell you the local Social Security office. Finally, it's important, and Karen had mentioned this, something called Partnership Plus. EONs are available to provide continuous services through the ticket after you are finished working with the VR. So say you go and work with the VR, you assign your ticket to VR, your case is closed successfully, then what can happen is your ticket's unassigned from VR and you can go on and work with an EN, an employment network, and they can continue to help support you and guide you to continue working, which is a really great, great thing. Okay, so next slide. So now we're going to talk about the vocational rehabilitation services that I kind of mentioned a little bit here. So that's the other option you have for your employment team. There's employment networks and there's VRs. Every state has vocational rehabilitation offices and several offices throughout the state. So if you decide, well, I think I want to go with VR services. Next slide. So the thing to remember is if you are on Social Security disability or supplemental security income, you are automatically eligible for VR services. So you're automatically eligible for VR services. Here in this state, how it works usually is you set up to go to an orientation to kind of learn more about what's out there, what services they have available to you. Once you decide, well, I think I really would like to work with VR, you'll be given to a counselor, and you'll develop an individual employment plan. And when you sign that individual employment plan is when your ticket becomes assigned to VR. And so, like an EN, when your ticket is assigned, you have that security of getting security from continuing disability reviews happening. So as long as you're making timely progress towards employment, those CDRs will be discontinued. Next slide. So when you begin using your ticket with a state VR agency, a couple things here. You know, again, this is self-directed. So when you come up with your plan, you know, that can include going back to school, that can include vocational training, whatever it may be. And, you know, your VR counselor is there to help you through that schooling and hopefully getting done with school, graduating, and going on and getting a job. And then once you get that job, you know, VR closes your case. Well, that doesn't mean there aren't services out there. There's something called the Partnership Plus, which I mentioned before, and there is where we do kind of a handoff of your ticket, so you would unassign it from VR, and it would be handed off to an EN, an employment network, to continue helping you to maintain employment. And I think that's just a really wonderful benefit to the Ticket to Work. And I hope that all of you take advantage of it.
Okay, Katie, thank you very much. And I do have a bunch of questions for you. They were coming in fast and furious during your discussion. Basically, one person wants to know, who should I work with, an EN or the VR agency?
Well, I think that really is determined by what your needs are. VR has a little bit more options to help you go back to school. So if you need some intensive training, you want to go back to college, VR is probably the route to go.
Okay. Now, somebody in our audience is homebound, and they want to know if it's possible to use their ticket in order to work from home, and is it a requirement that they meet with an EN in person?
Absolutely not, and I know I talk fast, so I probably kind of talked over this, or maybe I didn't even say it. Some ENs are actually, you know, it is all done remotely. It may not even be in your state. So you can do it by phone and email. I mean, really this, again, is a program that is self-directed by you. So, you know, what you need, and if that's what you need, just phone calls and emails, absolutely, you don't have to meet with them in person.
Okay, and starting a business from home or working at home is a possibility?
Absolutely. The ticket totally, VR and EN totally support that.
Okay. Now, this is a good question for you too, Katie. Somebody out there has a disorder that's very unpredictable, and they're wondering whether or not there are employers out there who understand that type of cyclical disability and will allow somebody to work who can't work on a regular basis.
You know, and that's a great question to ask your employment specialist at an employment network or your VR counselors, and, you know, to talk to them about your disorder if it's cyclical and say, do you know of specific employers that, you know, that you think will be able to work with me on this. So that's something that you really have to talk to your counselor about, or your VR or your EN specialist, and hopefully they can help direct you into an employer that will definitely be understanding of that and work with you.
Great. Thank you very much. Now, my son received assistance from the Vocational Rehabilitation Agency to get a degree in history. Is he now able to use his ticket to work with an EN to find a job?
Absolutely. The process is once his case is closed at VR, then he can take his ticket and give it to assign it to an EN. So it kind of, we want, so hopefully what will happen, if, you know, your son got a degree in history, VR will be able to help him find a job and kind of maintain that job. Usually it's about 90 days, and then at 90 days, the case will be closed, and then from there, his ticket can be unassigned from VR and reassigned to an EN of his choice to help him maintain employment and continue on his progress and success.
Okay, and how many times can I use my ticket?
How many times can you use your ticket? You can use your ticket as many times as you want. As long as you are between the ages of 18 and 64 and you are continuing to receive your disability benefits.
Okay, all right. Katie, I'm going to give you a breather for a minute, and I want to ask Karen a few more questions. Okay, Karen, somebody wants you to explain again about that $85 rule you were talking about.
Okay, when you're on SSI, Social Security has two exclusions. And exclusions are, again, when I keep making that joke about language, it means Social Security ignores that amount of money. So the first $20 you earn any month is called a general income exclusion, which means the first $20 a person earns does not affect their SSI check. The next one they have is a $65 one, and that's called an earned income exclusion. You can only use it for earned income. So when you add the 20 of the general and the 65 of the earned income exclusion, then you have $85. The first $85 a person earns will not affect their check. And that's what a lot of people, when they call Social Security, they will ask, how much money can I make and not affect my SSI? And Social Security will say either $65 or $85. But that's only part of the story, because after that, then they exclude half of what the person earns. And so it offers a great opportunity to earn well above $85. You don't need to hold yourself at $85, because that doesn't offer you much of an increase.
Okay. And Karen, can you talk a little bit more about Medicaid and how long somebody could remain eligible for Medicaid after they've begun working?
Okay, once you, again, if you're eligible for the full SSI federal benefit rate of 700, oh, darn, my mind, I've been doing this 14 years, 715?
710.
Thank you. Sorry, I usually have it all written down so I can remember, and I had a brain fart there. 710 a month, once you, I forgot what I was going to say. Once you earned over $1,505 a month, your SSI check will go to zero. But everybody has heard that if your SSI check goes to zero at that point, you're going to lose your lose everything. And that's not true if it goes to zero because of work. If it's because of work, it helps it go down to zero. Then you get a protection of your Medicaid until you make what each state calls a threshold amount. And so you can keep your Medicaid, full Medicaid, and your SSI eligibility even after your SSI check goes to zero until you make well over, like I said, in New Mexico, it's over $33,000 a year. Other states, it's a little less, or a little bit more.
Yeah, Karen, those thresholds, just to add, those thresholds differ from state to state. And the lowest that I've seen for this year is about $18,000 a year. And if you consider $18,000 and compare it to the SSI rate, which gets you $8,500 a year, you're looking at $10,000 a year more. So if you were at that level making $18,000, you'd still have Medicaid.
Yes. And then some states even have, with the Medicaid buy-in, will even have Medicaid for workers with disabilities to even make higher amounts. So I think there are 33 states that have that particular Medicaid.
We're up to 45 now.
45, wow. I
45,
believe.
Yeah, yep. And that's a wonderful program because it allows you to pay a premium for Medicaid and, as Karen said, earn significantly more money. And the premiums are very, very reasonable. and they tend to be based on income in a lot of states.
Yes, and even some states like New Mexico, we don't even ask for premium. We just ask for a copay when you see the doctor. And the copays are better than my health insurance working for the state.
Yeah, so yeah. In New York, we don't have any premium whatsoever. You know, it's supposed to be $25, but they don't collect it. And you can earn up to $45,000. So there are a lot of great ways. You could make $40,000 and still be eligible for Medicaid at no cost.
Yeah, and New Mexico, it's almost $60,000.
Yeah, so these are great, great programs. Now, Karen, I'm going to switch gears on you now because somebody just said, well, what about Medicare?
Okay. There, during your trial work period, you don't have to worry about your Medicare at all because it'll still be there. You're getting your cash payment and your Medicare. During the 3 years or 36 months of your extended period of eligibility, you keep your Medicare. But once you finish your trial work period, for 93 months you will keep your Medicare eligibility. So for at least 7 years, 9 months, you don't have to worry about losing your Medicare eligibility. You may have to pay the Part B premium, but you can. That's even very reasonable compared to what I pay in the state. So you can keep your Medicare. And then there's ways to keep it even longer than that, as long as you have a disability. But for most people, that's almost 8 years from today. And so when you get closer to that time period, we'll talk about that.
Yep. Great advice, great advice. And I like the way you're comparing it to what you pay too, because these programs are much cheaper than what I'm paying for my share of my health care as well. So I think it's a great comparison for folks to see. Now, I've got a question for both of you. What about the costs of durable medical equipment or other equipment that is needed to go to work? How can we get those paid for?
Well, Katie, you want to start with VR? Then
ENs? Say that again?
You want to start with the VRs and ENs first on...
Well, the VRs and ENs can assist you with buying some of that equipment. VRs, you know, if you, say, wanted to start a business at home, sometimes they're able to, you know, help you purchase a computer or help you purchase any type of, you know, possible medical equipment you might have, might need to have, or a special chair or things like that, a special desk, so that you'll be more comfortable at your job. So, Karen?
And that's the way it can start with. If you're in your, remember I kind of alluded to the idea of countable income in your extended period of eligibility. If you sometimes pay for it yourself, it reduces the amount of money you report to Social Security, and in those cases, both for SSI and SSDI, Social Security ignores that amount of money that you earned that month. So say you had to pay, well, for example, you're getting a little medical history for me. I have sleep apnea, and I have to have oxygen at night. The insurance only pays for part of the oxygen and only part of my cannula. I can say it today, a cannula that I need. So what my part, if I were on Social Security, I could deduct it from what I earned that month. And if it's under with substantial activity, it would help. I'd still get my Social Security check. And there's a lot of things that Social Security will allow you look at if you need them in order to work, that they won't count it if you pay for it yourself. So VR just sent out a notice the other day. They were trying to help somebody remodel their bathroom so that they could get clean and to go to work.
and VR was paying for that. But if somebody else had to do it maybe later when VR is closed, or if the employment network can't afford all of it, then they could use it for work as part of a work incentive.
Great. Thank you very much. Now, I've got two really, really good questions, and I'd like to hear from both of you on it. The first one, I'm going to generalize it because several people have asked this question, about mental illness or mental health disorders. And is this program able to help somebody with a mental illness or a traumatic brain injury?
Absolutely.
We have statistics showing that we've had many people with mental illness go back to work, and the ticket to work and the work incentives and employers are learning more and more about how to support people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would refer people to www.socialsecurity.gov/work and look at some of those success stories, because some of those success stories are from people who had those very disorders. And the last question that I want to put to people, put out there for you before we go to polling questions, is if I apply for a job through an EN, won't the employer know about my disability, and won't that discourage them from hiring me?
The thing is you're not applying through an EN. You're going to be getting assistance from the EN in the process of applying, doing your resume, doing your application. But most of the time, it's going to be coming from you. You're going to send it. And I would say that most of the time it won't be the EN sending it out. It won't be VR sending out your application or your resume. Sometimes it may be. And then you discuss how you talk about your disability at an interview.
And so an EN can provide that information about disclosure?
Yes, they can.
Okay. A perfect question for ENs to see how they would counsel somebody as to whether or not to tell about a disability when it's necessary, things like that. So that's a good thing. All right, well, thank you both for the questions. But as I warned you all, we have some questions for you. And what we do with these questions, they're really easy, but we want to know a little bit about who you are, I guess, and how you found out about us, so that we can use that information to guide our outreach and target our audience. So I'm going to ask you how you learned about today's webinar. Did you learn by email, by Facebook or Twitter, a website, a family or friend, or some other way? If you just pick an answer, and everyone's picking away. Wow, I wish the people that were on my webinars participated this fast. This is great. It's hard to explain to you how helpful this information is. So we really do appreciate it if you participate with these questions. We'll give you a couple of more seconds. All right, we're going to shut that one down because we got a bunch more to go. Actually, we don't have a bunch. We have four more to go. And we're closing. Okay, our second question is, what did you hope to learn before we started today's webinar? Did you want to learn about the ticket to work, work incentives for SSI, work incentives for SSDI, about employment networks and vocational rehabilitation services, or something else that we missed? And if it is something else, remember to use that support at choosework, TTW, support at choosework.ttw.net address, and let us know what you want to hear about. All right. Okay, I'm going to close that one out and wait my 20 seconds so I can start the third one. Thank you very much for your participation. We've got a lot of people participating. Okay. Now, some of you might be listening in today with some other people, you know, and you're all sitting in front of one screen. So we'd like to know how many other people, not including yourself, are with you at your computer terminal today. Right, we're going to shut that one down. Okay, and I'm trying to find, I'm missing 3 and 4 for some reason. There is poll 3, okay. I'm going to open that one up. If you can let us know what your gender is, male or female. Okay, we'll shut that down and get to the next one. The next one's just as easy. Give me my seconds. And what is your age? And it's broken down into different age groups, 18 or younger, 19 to 25, 26 to 40, 41 to 55, 56 to 65, or 66 and older. All right. We'll close that one out, too. Thank you very much. Those answers are very helpful. I'm going to let that close down and then one more time give you some more information before we sign off today. Now, after we do sign off, in about 2 seconds, there'll be a pop-up on your screen that will allow you to evaluate today's session. If you take the time to do that, we'd really appreciate it because we do look at those things and take them very seriously and change our presentations accordingly. Now, if you need more information, where are you going to go? www.socialsecurity.gov/work. It's a very wonderful website. It's very user-friendly, and you're going to find everything you need there. And it's a very safe way as well to find out more information about the programs that we've been talking about. If you want to talk to somebody, the Ticket to Work helpline is available, and there are experts there who can talk to you about your specific situation. We've asked a lot of general questions today and given you some general information, but to be specific about your situation, what we want to do is ask you to call this Ticket to Work helpline. That's at 866-968-6000. 7842, or if you're a TTY user, 866-833-2967. And we are over time, a little bit over, and I apologize for that, but I do want to thank Karen and Katie for being great presenters today, and thank Jeff for keeping everything running, and Jamie for monitoring the question box. And look to your Twitter and email and all of that other stuff, and watch for the next webinar. Some of them are on specific topics that might be of interest to you. Thanks for joining us today.